This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malola Lee and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes. A little bit about myself. I'm Tongan Australian. Played a little bit of rugby union for about 14 years in Australia and Japan. And it's sad to say that my Japanese is better than my Tongan. But what's keeping me busy now here at the ABC is sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people and on this show, as well as Nijan Footy, that Pacific sports show on TV. Whether it's making waves on the big stage or just as important to you living in the islands, we'll cover it here on Fresh Off the Field. All right, let's introduce our two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host is the sports editor for the national newspaper in Port Moresby. It's Patricia Kiamo. Great to have you on again, Patricia.
Hey, Sam. It's great to be here.
We love having you on. Well, rugby league is officially over now in PNG. Do any other sports exist for you guys to talk about over there?
Yeah, there's actually a couple of off-season sports happening. We've got some netball action and some football coming up, so lots to talk about.
Perfect. I'm glad there's some other sports happening because when rugby league comes back around, I'm sure all of them get pushed to the side. But my other co-host is a senior Solomon Islands journalist. Joining me from the studio in Adelaide, it's Priestley Hubbard. Hello, Priestley.
Hello, Sam, and it's always good to be back on the show and for the first time to co-host it with you and also with Patricia from PNG.
Ah, lovely to have you on. Well, this time last year, it was the Pacific Games, so exactly a year ago today. What was your favourite memory from the Pacific Games over there?
Yeah, I didn't realise it's a year ago today that we hosted the Pacific Games in the Solomon Islands. For me, the most memorable thing was that the focus of the, I guess, the region and the world was in Solomon Islands. I was really, really proud watching on TV and how my own home country really was up to it in hosting that big event that we had. So that was, to me, a very memorable event. And, you know, the focus of the whole region and the world was in Solomon Islands. And we did our best in hosting it, I guess, especially in the opening ceremony.
Well, I was over there as well. My favourite memory of the Solomon Islands was the meat pie down at the, I think it was the Breakwater Cafe. Probably the best meat pie I've ever had in my life. So
that's good to know.
That's good to, yeah, it was good to know. I had about four every day. Patricia, I know you were there as well. Did you have a pie as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When you said you had four in a day, I was smiling here because I had about two.
See, they're that good. We're not lying, people. I'm telling you, get there and try the pie and the Solomons. But we'll talk about what's coming up on the show today. We'll wrap up the AFL Pacific Cup that finished this weekend in Queensland.
Right foot kick coming beautifully. Dave Savara kicks the opening goal of the Pacific Cup Men's Open Final.
Plus, there's athletics, netball, football, and more. And later in the show, to help mark International Day of People with Disability, we'll chat to Solomon Islands para-athlete and Pacific Games silver medalist, Jemina Otoa, about her story. Plus, she's even brought in an interview with fellow para-athlete Moffat Ptolemy.
As for me, disability living in the village, sometimes it show challenging for me. Some of the family members are not really understand the shoe I'm wearing. But for the immediate family, yes, they always understand and they always support me in some other ways.
Plenty to get through, including some trivia, bit of fun. So let's rip in.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion of. If it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. Patricia, let's start in PNG. What have you got for us?
Yeah, Sam, so we have an exciting weekend coming up. Everyone's talking about it. So Netball PNG is hosting a tri-series in Port Moresby with The Brisbane Wildcats, who happens to be my favourite netball team, you could say I'm a huge Brisbane fan, so... Yeah, so Brisbane Wildcats, they are arriving in Port Moresby this evening for the Tri-Series. Now, it's been a long while since the Papua New Guinea Peppers, our national netball team, has had a home game here in Port Moresby. It's been a couple of years, so we haven't watched them play any games here for the last couple of years. They've always been playing abroad, so it's good to have our national team play a home game here, and even better with the Brisbane Wildcats. There's a lot of Brisbane fans here in PNG and in Port Moresby, so we're expecting a good turnout of families together from Friday through to Sunday to catch some netball action. So we will see three matches being played over the course of that 3 days, starting tomorrow, with the Wildcats taking on the first netball team for PNG. So the national team has been divided into three teams, gold, black and red. So they have three different teams that will be playing in each of the day from Friday through to Sunday. This is also in preparation of netball PNG's, preparation for the national team, the PNG Peppers, ahead of next February's Pacific Netball Series. So they have splitted the national team into three teams, like I said, and they will be testing themselves against the best of the Brisbane Wildcats to see how they fare. Apart from all the competitiveness that's going to happen on the courts over the 3 days, we're excited to see, you know, families coming together. Netball is a family sport, and whenever there's a netball competition here in Port Moresby, we see families getting together to catch some action. So it will be a good time to see, you know, families coming together to cheer on our girls here in PNG, as well as supporting the Brisbane Wildcats ladies.
How good's that? We're actually speaking to PNG netballer Shanaz Apelis next week on the show, so have you got any goss on her for us that we can potentially bring up with her?
Yeah, she has been an incredible player. I've watched her progress over the last couple of years, you know, playing from the local competition up and getting a couple of opportunities through the Pacific All Sports. And you know, she had some train and trial arrangement with the Brisbane Wildcats a couple of years back. So she is a fantastic player, very outspoken too.
Looking forward to that chat next week. Priestley, what's the talk of the town and the Solomons?
Sam, it's always soccer, as you would imagine, in the Solomons. So, yeah, just on the bike of the FIFA World Cup FIFA World Cup qualifications that we had in recent months, Solomon Islands is now out of the competition. They performed really badly, and this was under our new coach, Josh Smith, who was in charge since about September this year. And so far, in his five games in charge of the Solomon Islands national soccer team, he recorded four losses and one win. And that's very disappointing for soccer fans in the Solomons. And now the next big competition coming up is the MSG, or Melanesian Spearhead Group Prime Minister's Cup, which should be held in the Solomon Islands, will be hosted in Solomon Islands again from 9 to 21st December 2024. And at the bike of that MSG Prime Minister's Cup, Solomon Islands won last year in the inauguration of the used to be the Melanesian Cup. Now it's called the MSG Prime Minister's Cup. But it was only New Caledonia Solomons Vanuatu that participated in New Caledonia last year, and Fiji was not there. And at the bike of that record, Solomon Islands need to do to retain its title. And people are now talking about, well, with the new coach and with these four losses under his belt and just one win, how are we going to perform as a host for the MSG Prime Minister's Cup? That's the talk of the town at the moment. So there's lots of debates, a lot of if this was that, if that was not happening, and that kind of thing. So it's still really a big problem for us, especially Solomon Islands as a second-ranked team in the Oceania behind New Zealand going to the FIFA World Cup qualification, and then we did badly. So that's the talk of the town at the moment.
Being a head coach has to be one of the hardest jobs in the world, because you're either sacked or you're getting sacked.
Absolutely.
So thanks for filling us in on what's flying around on Coconut Wireless, Patricia and Priestley.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh off the field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. Patricia, what's caught your eye in Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, so here locally we have, most of the competitions have already wind down their season, but we've got one big national championship that's happening. It was supposed to be held this weekend, but it is now being moved to next weekend. So we have the National Athletics Championship now. It is their biggest event, the Federation's biggest event on the calendar. Every year, athletes across the country look forward to this championship. I am personally looking forward to this championship because it is very important as the outcome of the championship and, you know, the actions we see, records set and all that will determine which athletes make the team PNG squad for next year's Pacific Mini Games. So this championship will be used as the benchmark to select players that will represent PNG in the Pacific Mini Games in Palau next year. So we have a whole lot of talents across the country that are preparing, and some even made their way into the nation's capital. The championship will be held in Port Moresby over 3 days. So it's always exciting to see. Every year we see athletes from provinces outside of the nation's capital come in here, and each time we see a new athlete shining, you know, the talents from rural areas across PNG, no doubt a lot of talents out there. So every year we see at least a new athlete performing well in track or in field. So we are looking forward to see how all of that will play out. Now, the main events that everyone's keeping their eye on is obviously the sprint events, the 100 meter, 200 meter, and 400 meter events that everyone's eyeing to see who will, you know, set a new record or who will win those events. Now, for the men's division, we have our sprinter Pius Wiesel, who is the younger brother of Toya Wiesel. As you all know, Toya's had a really incredible career. Now, her younger brother is hitting peak form, and with the championship around the corner, he has just improved his personal best of 100 meter from 10.61 seconds to 10.55 seconds just over the weekend in Brisbane. So that performance takes him up to third place in PNG's all-time best performance list for the 100 meter. Leapfrogging some of the big names like Takale Tuna and Nelson Stone, as well as his elder brother Kupun Wiesel's record. So he is one athlete that we are really watching to see how he will fare in this 100 meter race come next weekend. So apart from him, we have some other athletes like Leroy Kamau, Benjamin Aliel, who have performed really well in last year's Pacific Games.
No doubt there's going to be some impressive times and results coming out of that one for PNG. And how about from across the Pacific? What have you got for us?
Well, a lot's happening across the Pacific, but this one, really excited to talk about. So over the last week, we've seen some exciting AFL action in Sunshine Coast. It was a thrilling competition with Pacific Island countries, particularly Nauru. I was really impressed with how the Nauru women's team performed throughout the tournament. You know, they edged out New Zealand in a hard-fought contest and then defeated PNG, knocking them out of finals contention and eventually winning the finals. Like, the resilience shown by these women from Nauru was really inspirational, you could say, because I remember their match against PNG, the last group match they played together. They were trailing. PNG was up by 14 points after the first quarter, and Nauru was at nil. And then by halftime, they only scored 2 points with PNG still leading 14. But that comeback they made in the third and final quarter was just phenomenal. Watching them put up a performance to defeat PNG and then go into the final and snatch the Pacific Cup, that was really admirable for the Nauru women's team. Now, for the men's, I'm happy to say that Papua New Guinea has really dominated the men's competition, winning all their group matches and eventually beating Nauru in the final. So that was a huge achievement, I'd say, for our PNG men's AFL team. Now, all of that comes at the back of some very unsuccessful results that PNG has had with our other national teams. Just over the last couple of months, we've seen PNG Comoros go down in the Pacific Championship, and then the men's football team did not do well in the FIFA World Cup Oceania qualifiers. So, from all of that result and having the PNG men's AFL team take out the Pacific Cup was just something, you could say, probably that the country needed something positive, positive sports result. Yeah, that's the way I see it from where I'm standing. So, yeah, it was a huge performance. And get this, the PNG men's AFL team, not just the men's team, but the sport of AFL itself in PNG, they do not get a lot of recognition or a lot of support from our government here, or they don't even get that much media coverage. But one thing that stood out with them is the pathway that they have set and the success that they have proven to show over the years. That's that's something that really stood out with me. So to have a team that gets very little recognition go out there and beat the odds out there and bring the cup back home was something really special.
Well, if they don't get enough love from the PNG government, they certainly get it here on Fresh Off the Field. Great work to the Mosquitoes and also Nauru and the women's. Out of about 12,000 people, for population, they punch well above their weight. It must be playing on that crushed coral. Definitely not for me watching them play that on that type of field. But Priestley, how about in the Solomons? What do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Within soccer as well, apart from very bad performance on the field, we have actually a national referee from the Solomon Islands who's setting his own history. His name is Ben Akwai, and he's been nominated for the prestigious International Federation of Football History and Statistics World's Best Referee 2024 Award. So he's the only one from the region or from the Oceania who has been nominated to be among 20 match officials from across the globe to be nominated for this award. Now, the 30-year-old stood out as the sole nominee from the Oceania, as I've said, and this recognition comes just 2 years after earning his FIFA referee badge in 2022, and his nomination is a testament to his dedication, skilled, honed through opportunities on the international stage. This year, he participated or officiated in a lot of competitions, including the recent 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifiers for the region, and especially during the match between Vanuatu and New Zealand, where he officiated. And these awards will be presented to the top referee in January 2025, and he's one of the nominees among 20 world referees football referees around the world.
You know, I said that head coaching is probably the hardest job. I take that back. I think it's refereeing. So well done to him. It's the tough job being in the middle, but great work. What else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
Yes, I think in the last episode, we would have heard about two new debutants for the Fiji Sevens rugby team that is participating in this Dubai Sevens this weekend. And one of those two, George Bosse, is now aiming to make his family proud when he takes part in this Dubai Sevens this weekend. And he's one of the two new players, as we've heard last episode. The other is Kavikini Tanivanuakula. But as for Bosse, he sees this opportunity as his opportunity. Yeah, he sees this opportunity as the time to make his family proud, and hopefully can get the contract after he participated in representing Fiji in the Dubai Sevens. So Dubai Sevens kicks off this weekend in Dubai, and the last time, as we know, Fiji won this competition was in 2015 when the current coach Osea Kolonisau was the captain of Fiji, and they will be aiming to regain the title that was lost from their hands since 2015. And Bosse especially is looking forward to hopefully get a contract somewhere after his performance this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Fijians will be looking good for this Dubai Sevens series and kicking off their campaign off the back of a pretty successful Olympics. But there's also prep for the mini games in Palau.
Yes, so with 7 or so months to go before Palau hosts the 2025 mini games in mid next year, 2025, to be held June 29th to July 9th, there are already preparations underway. In Palau, especially between, there was a meeting last week between the chairman of the organizing committee, Patrick Talley, and the National Olympic Committee of Palau president, Frank Coyota, to meet with stakeholders and business and, people in Palau, especially to look forward to hosting these games, especially for vendors to provide the needs for catering, accommodations, transportation, and that kind of thing. So they've already been meeting with people and also business houses also this week to help, freshen up the organizing of the games in preparing to host the games, the Pacific Mini Games next year. Now, there will be 14 sports to be played at the 2025 Pacific Mini Games in Palau. And these sports are athletics, archery, baseball, canoe, 3x3 basketball, judo, beach, volleyball, softball. There's fast pitch, which I'm not really sure what it is, swimming, table tennis, triathlon, indoor volleyball, wrestling, and weightlifting. So, Palau is ready to host those games next year, but the preparations are already underway to host a successful Pacific Mini Games next year.
Yeah, plenty happening and plenty to look forward to as well. And a quick one for me to end. A few weeks ago, we had Fijian Australian powerlifter Varun Lau. He was off to represent Australia in the World Championships, and it's great news. He actually won gold in the 125-kilo category and is now ranked in the top three in powerlifting in the world. So congrats to Varun. And you can listen back to that episode wherever you get your podcast. Just search Fresh Off The Field. Thank you so much, Patricia and Priestley. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. Okay, let's change it up a little bit now. We'll have some fun and get to know my co-host a bit more, plus see who is a good liar. Yes, it's time to play Gyamanstapwe, which is Tok Pisin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. The other two co-hosts will try to Gyamanstapwe. Patricia, let's go straight to you. What are your three things?
All right. So, first one, I had cake for breakfast. Two, I had rice and fish for dinner last night. And three, I don't drink tea.
They are good. Priestley, I'm just going to let you do the honours here and you can go first.
That's a quite a tough one.
It is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess the lie is you didn't have any cake this morning. I know you have probably PNG biscuits this morning. Because I love PNG biscuits, so I don't think you had cake this morning. That's a lie.
You reckon? I'm gonna throw it out there. There was a birthday last night, and she's had it again for brekkie because it was sitting on the table. And I'm gonna say that you don't drink tea.
Okay, I'm gonna give it to Sam. Sam's right.
Yes.
I actually drink tea, so that was the lie.
I thought so.
Yeah, so you did have cake for breakfast. Yeah, I have a sweet tooth. So,
is that a common occurrence eating the cake, or is it just a one off?
No, it's just a one off.
That's the lie. Perfect. Well, that was I really enjoyed that one. That was good, short, sharp, and I hope you enjoyed your cake. Let's go, Priestley. Now, three things.
Yes, I'm currently in Adelaide at the moment, so three things will be about Adelaide, where I'm currently living. So first one is, I was living in Adelaide from 2018 to 2019. That's the first one. Second, I first came to Adelaide in January 2022. And the last one, I first visited Adelaide in 2011, which is the lie.
Patricia.
True.
This is a tough one.
That's tricky.
Yeah, that's very tricky.
Well, I think I'm going to go with the third one.
third one. First visit.
I don't think you first. I don't think you visited Adelaide first in 2011.
Okay, I'm going to go with the lie is the second one there. First came in January 2022. I feel like that's the lie.
Wow. Sam, you got 2 out of 2.
Ah, stop it.
We got a winner.
So the lie is the second one. I first came to Adelaide in January 2022. Actually, I came in October 2022, so that's the lie.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I've got to probably thank my childhood for picking lies because my parents lied to me all the time about, you know, us going somewhere or not going somewhere. So I think that's why I'm good at this game. I think I've only got one wrong since I've been here.
You're really good at it. You're really good at guessing it.
Yeah, well, beautiful. Hopefully I can continue this trend moving forward. But as always, thanks for playing. And obviously we learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. Pacific Sports.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We love hearing from everyone involved in the game. So each of us brings an interview from across the Pacific. Patricia, who did you chat to this week?
So this week I spoke to Sarai Barman. She is the FIFA Chief of Women's Officer for FIFA. She was recently at the Oceania Women's Football Conference in Wellington, and I spoke to her on the development of women's football in the region. I started by asking her what she's doing back here in the region with her work with FIFA.
I'm very happy to be here as a representative of FIFA, also to offer my support and to spend some time in my home region with a special focus on women's football. And it's an opportunity for the women and men who are involved in women's football to, first of all, network with each other, to share stories, to share challenges, and to really come together as a team. But it's also a way for Oceania Football and for FIFA to discuss and talk about the support that we have for those member countries to help them to deliver women's football in their countries. And obviously for me, coming from the Pacific myself, having started my journey in Samoa, it's really special to come home and to spend time with these women and to really see what I can do in my role now to support them in developing the women's game.
I understand, you know, this has been a busy year for women's football in the region, especially with the youth-aged tournaments we've had with a couple of championships throughout this year. So, you know, hearing from all the representatives from the countries around the region, what would you say on, you know, the development of women's football for this year alone, and especially with the younger age group?
Well, I think this year has been an incredible year for women's football in the region. If I think back to the FIFA Women's World Cup, which was hosted last year here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and in Australia, I think this provided the perfect platform to accelerate the development of women's football in the wider region. If I think to, for example, the Under-17 Women's World Cup qualifiers that we've just played. For the first time ever, Samoa has qualified a team to a World Cup. They will be on the world stage next year in Morocco, representing the region together with New Zealand. If I look to Fiji, they had their first ever women's team qualify and compete at the Under-20 Women's World Cup in Colombia this year. It's really been an incredible year. We've also seen the launch of the first ever futsal competition here in Oceania. And, you know, this all leads into also the FIFA tournaments. So for me, it's a really exciting time. I think the future is very, very bright for women's football here in Oceania. And it's really important that we have workshops like this so that we can support and do everything we can to help those that are on the ground and delivering the game.
Awesome. Thanks. Just, you know, going forward in the new year, you know, 2025 is shaping up to be another eventful year with a lot of events for
our region. Towards the end of the year, we'll have the match day 1 and 2 for the FIFA Women's World Cup qualifier. And just tell me a bit about that, and you know what it will mean for the region.
Yeah, well, I think it's really exciting. I mean, any time that you have a chance to qualify for a World Cup, it provides a huge incentive for our member associations, for the players, for everyone that's involved in the game. And last year at the Women's World Cup here in Australia and New Zealand, we almost had two teams from Oceania represented. In fact, Papua New Guinea, I'm sure that you remember it, they competed very, very well in the playoff tournament, only losing 2-0 to Panama, very narrowly missing out on a spot at the Women's World Cup. So if you think about how close we came to having two teams represented last year, that must provide a huge incentive in the build-up to the qualifiers this year, where we could hopefully see, after this qualifying tournament, a second team represented for Oceania at the tournament. And for me, and obviously for many of the women and girls from around this region, that would absolutely be a dream come true.
Thanks for that, Patricia. And it's so good to see someone from our region having a seat at the table. And yeah, FIFA table, that's a massive table, isn't it, Patricia?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Soraya has been very outspoken in, you know, driving the development of women's football in the region, and it helps, you know, she's from here and she knows how things are done in the region. So having that seat on the table, she has that influence to, you know, to steer things, to get, you know, more development for our women in the region.
So almost told me if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu. So it's good to that we've got that representation there on that one. For myself, this week I got to speak to Solomon Islands para athlete Jemina Otoa, who won a silver medal at the 2023 Pacific Games in her home nation, and was quoted saying, and I love this quote from her, "I'm on a mission to inspire others who wear the same shoes as me." So she's also prepared another chat with a fellow para athlete, Moffat Ptolemy, which we'll hear after that one. But first up, I started by asking Jemina to describe where she grew up.
My village, was living in the highlands, and I think like 15 minutes walk to the main road. And my village was settled at the side of the view of the river, and yeah.
And what was it like for you growing up as a kid, living in the village and being amongst your family?
As for me, disability, living in the village, sometimes it show challenging for me. Some of the family members are not really understand the shoe I'm wearing, but for the immediate family, yes, they always understand, and they always support me in some other ways, like to help me, to encourage me, or to give me some encouraging words that never give up on life. It's not you. Disability, there are many people, there are many children also wearing the same suit that you are wearing. So I'm really happy with them that they always stand beside me and support me.
What is your disability?
My disability is a physical impairment with my right-hand side.
Oh, okay. So what does that mean in terms of day-to-day challenges?
For me, as a person with disability, growing in the village, it's like so quite challenging. Like there are some of the people are not understanding how I'm grow and the suit I'm wearing. They always like bullying me and talk behind my back. But for my immediate family, they always support me. They always fight against those things where people always talk about me, and they always support me, and they always encourage me and say, never give up, there is a life. So I'm happy that they always cheer me and they always help me about with some encouraging words.
Well, let's talk about your achievements. Firstly, who else inspired you to compete at a high level?
For me, I always inspired by the two of the athletes by the name Sharon Firishua and Dina Matakali. Like when I was with them in the field, and they said that it's amazing, Jamina, for you to do running. You have the courage that though you face challenge in sport, but you always determine that there is something ahead of you. So you keep going. So always I'm working with them in the field. I always do training with them, and they always give me some tips of training, and they always boosting me up, and then able to join the sport and end up like in para sports.
And how old were you when you discovered that you had a talent that could take you onto one of the highest levels, you know, the Pacific Games?
Yeah, the Pacific Game. I told myself that I'm the person that I can inspire others in the Pacific Game, like last year. For me, it's a history call for myself, like for participating in the Pacific Game in your own country. It's a different feelings, like out of everything that you can see your family members or your other colleagues, they always come along and support you when you are in the field. So for me, like, it's the proudest moment and history call for me myself for doing the running. And apart from running, I'm also in other sport like taekwondo, javelin, and so forth as well. So it's amazing for myself. For my parents, they congratulate me and they say that that's the aim for yourself, and we won't want other people to bully you, that you can show to them that you're somebody, that you can do better than them despite of whatever thing they said about you, but you don't mind them and you go forward and you achieve what you want to achieve. And my parents are always proud of me, and there are fellow mates, fellow para athletes, they always proud of me that I'm on the track to win the medal and stand on the podium and raise my own flag. And it's a proud moment for them and for me myself.
What other proud moments have you experienced in your career so far?
Some of the proudest moments is when I'm out from my country and participate in the international events and raise my flag, my own flag, to other different countries. And there is a proudest moment for me too.
I've got a feeling you love winning or love competing and beating other athletes. What is it about winning that you love the most?
Oh, I love to win, and I'm love to competing with other para athletes from different country, like here in the Pacific and other fellow para athletes from other different countries.
Which country do you like to beat the most?
The country that I really want to compete with is the PNG, because PNG are really strong athletes. So,
oh, I love that. Okay, so PNG is your rivalry. I love that. When I read that quote about you saying you're on a mission to inspire others who wear the same shoes as yourself, it was heartwarming to hear that. What is it about you and what legacy or what do you want to leave behind to other athletes coming through who face the same challenges as you?
The message here is like, never give up. Though you face some challenges, some bullying, the message is never give up. Don't give up. There is something ahead of you. Don't look down on yourself and don't think about the shoe you are wearing. Don't let the shoe put you down. Just think that you are somebody to inspire others that they love to participate in sport. And I've said that not only you wearing the same shoe, there are lots of people wearing the shoe that you are wearing. And so never give up and don't give up. Don't look down on you. You have a potential to continue on with the sport and continue on with your goal that you aim for.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Well said. So the Solomon Islands have a brand new stadium, new facilities. It's amazing that now you've got something on home soil where you can help with your preparation to perform well. What else is needed for the para athletes in the future to help them achieve more success?
For me as a para athlete for the Solomon Islands, like, I really want some changes in the management. We need a good management for the para committee. We want to re-elect the new board committee so that they can give us a good support and they can know how to coach the para athletes, because in Solomon Islands, para athletes, sometimes they are treated like differently, like sometimes they don't want to coach them, they don't want to give some other training tips for them. But yeah, there are some things that we want to see in the future, like for the para to come up.
Are those coaches you're talking about, are they of Solomon Island heritage, or is that anyone that knows how to coach para athletes is to bring them into the Solomon Islands? Is that what you're after?
For now, our coaches is from Solomon Island, but the changes I really want is I think it's good for the some coach from other countries, like for example the coaches from Vanuatu and PNG or Australian or other coach that who coach para athletes as well, to come on and do more training on the inclusive for our coaches, because like sometimes our coaches come to the field and they don't have the spirit of patience with them, so sometimes they don't understand how movement of the disability who are in sport. So they just come and stay around, let's say 5 minutes and 4 minutes, they board the bus and go home. So that's the thing that I really want the changes on that. We really need some new coaches who understand the para and understand how to coach us like that.
What's next for yourself in the future? What's coming up?
Next year, I'm going to compete in Palau, the mini games.
Have you been to Palau before?
No.
Awesome. And how does it make you feel that you get to travel the world and see other parts of the world and compete on the big stage?
Oh, for me, it's great and amazing for myself. Like when I grew up, I'm thinking that I'm not able to travel out, but when I'm in sport, what I'm dreaming is success. So it's amazing for me, and I'm really proud of myself that I'm fly over the world. Like,
yeah. Oh, I love that answer. That's sport is an amazing platform to be able to see the world, but also get to do something that you love as well. I believe you have made a package for us today. We'll play that right now. Jimena, I want to thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you inspiring many, many people who are like yourself to take on any challenge, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Inside low sport like disability, we always face him.
In disabled sports, I face a lot of challenges, like transport, sometimes with money. For disabled people, we have special needs.
Sometimes side low financial. Awesome. Like for disability person, like Mival, awesome.
So sometimes it really makes me discouraged. But I really remind myself to be determined, to keep up my interests and maintain my morale.
Awesome. Him sabe make him Mivala for. I mean, sometimes meeting awesome him, misa feel doubt in me sometimes. But me like for me must go dream on what nam awesome me interest for. Dream of some for keeping moral blow me for.
Movet is the one of the para athlete. Movet has a black hair and brown skin color. At the moment, me and Movet were sitting in the office. Movet is wearing a white t-shirt and sitting on the chair. Moffat lost his both legs when he was young.
Yes. My name is Moffat Tolomai. I am 25 age and me from Malaita province.
My name is Moffat Tolomai. I'm 25 years old. I'm from Malaita province. I'm the firstborn in my family. There's five of us, three girls, two boys. I'm the firstborn. I've been living with a disability since I was young, from an accident that happened to me where I lost my two legs.
But me, this a disability, me, also me one for a accident, no ma? Like, since me small, and him kasi me, so me lose him na to fall leg.
At this time, Movet can't use a wheelchair to get him around, but he loved to use his natural leg or knee to move him to where he wants to go.
Oh, I, me, since like, 4 years now, me join him sport.
I was 4 years old. And I've been playing sport, and in para athletics, I do two sports. One is powerlifting, and the other is archery.
One is powerlifting and archery, I think.
What are some of the challenges you've encountered as a youth disabled athlete when you play sport?
Challenges, yeah, no, me will face him through, like, sometimes side law coaching, me will say, RA Florida, but the coach, what the being.
But the challenges I face, with coaching, for example, sometimes the coach might be late to athletics too. Like, some are able to walk, others have wheelchairs, so they also need help with transport too.
Like some fella able for walkabout, and some fella, I mean, not capable for walkabout. So some fella use him not a wheelchair, so him need him too, I mean, someone for, I mean, for help, like for, like let me tell him finish today, like transport. For, I mean, me fall awesome, but me fall tell him awesome, but me fall.
What are your thoughts around inclusiveness for disabled people in Solomon Islands? Is it fair?
You think him fair?
Him a little bit awesome, him a little bit hard something too, like, I mean, for comparing now with him other able and other disability. Like,
it's hard to compare the worlds of abled and those with disabilities sometimes. Other people just look down on people with disabilities. They see what we can't do. The only thing I hope for or want is for us to be recognized, for them to see what the challenges are for us.
Disability person, like, or something where me fall out able one, me fall dream, or some disability person or no side dream, so. The only thing to, I mean, for recognize him na as, yeah, lo, I mean, disability patient, like other things where other dream awesome him a bit challenging too for, like, us, for mental other disability, yeah.
But what is the situation like now? Is it inclusive?
Inclusive.
Yeah, him. I mean, I'm true. I'm no inclusive because, like, for disability.
It's true. It's not inclusive because for disability, we don't see that inclusiveness in the Solomons. If you look around town, they need to make access roads for people with disabilities, for people in wheelchairs.
Some fella things were outside. Or to make him like access road for.
What we see overseas. We don't have that here. We need to make things equal, like access roads for people with disabilities, to make things equal.
That one, I'm also me no looking like for the overseas, like everything. Also me looking, also him, also me to make everything him equal, no ma. Like access road for the disability patient, yeah. Just for making everyone also just equal.
Okay, as you telling me that you outlaw attack. Out country.
As you've said, you've traveled overseas to do training and do competition. How do you feel when you represent Solomon Islands as a disability athlete?
Represent him, contribute as you one of a disability patient.
Oh, yes, me, I feel proud of myself. As me, one for disability.
I feel very proud of myself as a person with a disability.
Meeting strong on. What now me go aim for by me dream inside law game lo me?
I put a lot of thought into my goals in my sport, and I think that for abled people I look different, but I need to do my best. So I'm proud of myself, and I'm proud of my country.
Person like also me look different from others like able, so me also me doing best lo me too. Me must doing what now me for me go, so me proud lo me self or even lo country lo me too.
Movet always loves sport. Even he encountered some challenge in sport, but he never give up.
Oh yeah, that one him, but Him one fella challenge something for us me fella at other disability, yeah. As like public other looking that other awesome, oh, other people are awesome, other.
That's a big challenge for us with a disability. The public sees us, people with disabilities, and they think that we can't do things. But for us, we have our own skills, the things we like to do.
Yeah, on skills, whatever outside, like for sabi, outside, like for dream. Yeah, him want for challenge something for like disability patient, but I mean strong mind no more for like me fella.
So it's a big challenge for disabled people. But for me, I have a strong mind. I don't give up. I don't think about giving up. I just think what abled people can do, I must do it too.
Think about him that and also me just think me like for go what na me save dream. No matter able him dream, able based on him dreams, me by me must dream too.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Thanks to Jamina and Moffat. It's been great to share both their stories today as we lead up to International Day of People with Disability on Tuesday, December 3rd. Before we go, I want to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, fresh off the dome. Every week I'll ask three questions. Patricia and Priestley, use your name as your buzzer if you think you know the answer, and you can obviously play along at home as well. Let's get into it. All right, question number one. Vitaliano Lui has made history by becoming the first deaf touch footy player to be chosen for his country. Where is he from? Tonga, Fiji, or Samoa?
Priestley.
Go for it.
Samoa.
Ding, 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 ding. It's 1-0. Yeah, so he's representing Samoa. They're competing in the Queensland State Cup touch footy tournament this weekend. So good luck to the Samoan team in that one. Question number two. In golf, if I hit a birdie on a par three, how many shots did it take me? And if you know
Patricia.
Golf. All right, Patricia, go for it.
That's a wild guess, but two.
Ding, 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 ding. That's a great guess. It is two. It's two, so it's one apiece. Here we go. There's a prize at the end of this one. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know after it. this one is closest to. So you can both have a guess at this one. We'll start now. Jen Lee Winnie is one of the most successful athletes in the Solomon Islands with her success in the sport of weightlifting. How old is she?
Priestley.
Priestley, go for it.
40.
Ooh. Patricia. Do you have a right of reply?
I'm going to guess 39.
Ooh, 39. No, it is 41.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Ooh, we came so close yet
yeah,
so
you
far
did
away.
Come, yeah, you did. But there we go. There's our winner, Priestley. You
Thank
got
you.
The chocolates on this one. So when I see it, when you come to Sydney, I'll give you some chocolates.
Okay, I'll look out for chocolate and I'll look out for you, Sam.
Yes, make sure you do. Or we can share it together with some of the cake as well. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, sports editor for the national newspaper in Port Moresby. Thank you to Mas, Patricia Kiamo.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. This was fun.
And also thanks to my other co-host, Solomon Islands senior journalist, Priestley Hubru. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you to much, Sam, and thank you to much to my One Talk, Patricia, as well.
Outstanding work, and thank you to the AFL for the extra audio used in this episode, and to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.